Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the LogOn Cybersecurity Podcast, where we speak with global cybersecurity leaders who are shaping the future of cyber defense. In today's episode, we are focusing on a subject that's rapidly gaining traction in boardrooms and security operations centers around the world: continuous threat exposure management, or widely known as a CTEM. I'm your host, Vivek. And joining us today is a true pioneer in the fields of cyber law, threat intelligence, and AI-driven security. Please welcome Dr. Ilya Kolochenko, founder and chief architect at ImmuniWeb. Dr. Ilya, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, good afternoon, and thank you for having me here today.
Yes, we are more than happy to have you, sir. Dr. Ilya, before we get into the subject, for our audience, if you could give a brief introduction about continuous threat exposure management so that we can take the discussion further.
Sure. So CTEM or CTEM, however we may prefer to pronounce this relatively new acronym, and in 2025, we see new cyber security acronyms being coined virtually every single day. So it is easy to get lost among them. So my personal perception of the CTEM acronym is that this is a mixture of different previously existing services and solutions like external attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, CTI services. The idea is that we bring all services, all tools, all solutions into a single place. So we don't need to have different portal, different dashboards. Everything is visible in a central place, so we can manage threats proactively and, most importantly, within a specific context, because I believe that CTEM is a critical solution, is a critical component of your cyber resilience and cyber defense, because many companies still do their cyber security tasks in isolation. For example, they do have their penetration testers that conduct web application security testing and scanning, and they deliver high quality of work. That's perfect. But the challenge is, what happens if your third party has a privileged access to your web application is compromised and its data is accessible on the dark web? Your penetration testing efforts will basically be futile. Similarly, if you have your web applications that are hypothetically 100% secure, what happens if the underlying cloud instance is compromised and backdoored? Once again, your application security efforts bring from little to no value. So I believe that CTEM is a consolidation of previously existing tools, solutions, and services, and its key value that we'll have a consolidated, centralized visibility where we can make well-informed, risk-based, threat-aware decisions about your cybersecurity.
Perfect. That gives a better scenario and understanding of the CTEM, or as we say, CTEM. Considering that, Dr. Ilya, my first question, which is the fundamental part. In recent years, exposure management has become a major talking point in CISO circles and boardrooms. Red teaming, vulnerability scans, and pen testing have been around for decades. So what exactly sets CTEM apart from these traditional security exercises followed by most of the organizations?
I think it really depends on the specific vendor, because some vendors, they include all kinds of services, including red teaming. And they say that red teaming and penetration testing or breach and attack simulation, as you see, we have a lot of different terms, right? And oftentimes they are used interchangeably, right? So they include what I call intrusive services in a good sense. In my opinion, CTEM is rather non-intrusive, or Zint, I mean, open source intelligence based solution, because when you monitor your external attack surface, for example, you will highly likely stumble upon shadow IT, legacy IT, third party managed or third party hosted solutions. And if you start pen testing them, you may either break them, the server or the application will simply go down, and that's not the purpose of the exercise, right? Or you even have legal troubles, because if you start conducting pen testing of a third party asset, even if the data inside belongs to your organization, it may be illegal. My definition of CTAM, that it is all kind of services, including, for example, some niche services like monitoring for infringement of your copyrighted materials, infringement or misuse of your corporate logos, trademarks, trade names, phishing monitoring, but it does not include any intrusive services like vulnerability scanning. And I also believe that CTAM is a foundational service, foundational in terms that it lays down the foundation to start your penetration testing activities in a well-informed, or I would say in a better informed manner, because currently what we observe, and I'd say still observe in 2025, that even large organizations, they frequently have no specific plan how to conduct penetration testing and scanning. They do everything. They have a mixture of tools, vendors, providers, internal red team, blue teams, purple teams, but they don't have an overall strategy. So they just have a list of their subnetworks that they will probably scan on an annual, quarterly, monthly, weekly basis. They do have a list of high priority targets where they'll be doing some red teaming exercises. But if you ask them, why do you perform a pen test on this specific application in a black box mode? Or why you only test three roles and not five, because you have many different user roles, right? Why do you test just three and not five or two or zero? Usually they will struggle with answer, and depending on the department, we may get completely different answers. And I'm not suggesting that pen test should always include all user roles. No, because for example, if you have a web application user role like super admin that is protected by all possible means. For example, in order to log in, you must have a client-side SSL certificate. You must log in only from a specific IP addresses. And if you log in, many people will receive notifications immediately. Even if this login is a legitimate login, everybody will be notified. And by default, you have all permissions, so you can do everything. I would say that probably testing this system under super user will bring little value. Not always, but generally speaking, if a company decides excluding this user role from testing, saying, listen, in any case, we will only have trusted people accessing this account. Even if somehow the bad guys manage to compromise it, we will immediately receive a notification and the account will be immediately blocked. We have different set of external controls. In this case, I agree that testing your system, saying, listen, super admin user can upload a malicious file and execute arbitrary code. Great. So what? Because this is not a vulnerability. This is a function or feature. But CTAM is exactly here to help to understand whether we need to pen test their system, whether we need to conduct automated scanning. If so, how frequently? So it's about your perception, definition, and systematization of your risks and threats. So I think CTAM is crucial to understand how to schedule and if to schedule your scanning, pen testing, red teaming, and many others exercises that are required either by your internal policies or by law, but in a well-informed, risk-based, and threat-aware manner.
That's a great perspective. Ultimately, depends on the strategic decision-making that it requires for an organization to decide on. I've clearly drawn a line between traditional assessment and continuous real-time exposure monitoring. It's pretty evident that CTEM isn't just an evolution. It's a strategic shift towards making cyber risk visible, contextual, and manageable on a daily basis. Moving on to the next question, let's now talk about one of the core strengths of ImmunWeb, that is artificial intelligence. Can you walk us through how AI is integrated into the CTEM platform? How does it enhance detection, prioritization, and decision-making, and ultimately make life easier for cybersecurity teams?
At ImmunWeb, we have been successfully utilizing machine learning, or as we call it now, AI, long before November 2022, when OpenAI launched ChatGPT for public. And we received our first award for practical use of machine learning back in 2017, when ImmunWeb was just a prototype. So it was the first concept. And by practical, I mean measurable. My favorite disclaimer when I talk to our customers or partners, I always say that AI is no magic. We're not selling magic. We're not selling miracles. Unfortunately, I'm not Harry Potter and I don't have my magic wand. I'd love to have one, but I don't have it. So if a wizard who is looking for a job, please refer him or her to us. We'll rapidly hire them. Definitely. But at ImmunWeb, we deal with practical limitations of modern AI. Just to give you some examples, what we do with machine learning, we do have many interconnected, mutually enhancing machine learning models. We have several fine-tuned LLMs for specific purposes. We do not develop LLMs internally because it's very expensive and costly and time-consuming, and it's a laborious task. So we rather prefer to take an open source LLM, fine-tune it, and use it for internal purposes. But we do have a lot of 100% in-house models. For example, we do have a generative AI model, not an LLM, that is designed to bypass web application firewalls. Okay, so it generates payloads, okay, to bypass a web application firewall. Why I'm always talking about no magic? Because first, if the web application firewall is not bypassable, and this happens, okay, for example, you have cross-site scripting, one may say that it's super simple, but then if you have just a very limited number of characters that you can inject and the payload size is limited to 5 characters in total, getting a working payload will be a problem. And even if you hire entire penetration testing community, they'll probably struggle with it. So if bypass is not possible by a human being, AI will bring zero value. Okay. Second, it may be a very particular use case, for example, also an AI-based web application firewall. And we may simply have not enough training data. In this case, once again, AI technology will not always work or will not always work well. But if we talk about most popular, most, I would say, well-known on the market web application firewalls, and use cases are not unusual or are not unusually complex, in this case, our model will probably bypass web application firewall faster compared to human being. And honestly, most cases of web application firewall bypass are fairly trivial, with the comparatively trivial tasks. So we prefer our penetration testers to invest their valuable time on complex and sophisticated tasks that truly deserve their unique knowledge and their experience. On a side note, we should also bear in mind that AI is not a panacea. If your web server is just slow, and every request, every HTTP request takes 30 seconds to be executed, with AI, you will be brute forcing bypassing web application firewall for several days. So sometimes we may be very happy saying, oh, we have AI. This means that now all web application firewalls that are bypassable will be bypassed in seconds or minutes. No, because if you have this kind of stupid problem that the web server is slow, or that their web application firewall, or I'd say their load balancer in between, is configured just to ban your IPs for half an hour every 30 attempts that you try to inject something malicious, your AI, once again, will be paralyzed. So we always say that, yes, with AI, we intelligently automate and accelerate different tasks. Okay. We do deliver faster results for more competitive price, and we often deliver more comprehensive results to our customer compared to traditional, I would say, algorithm-based tools and solutions, or compared to 100% manual labor, because when you have talented pen testers required to waste their time on trivial tasks, they will simply waste their time and they will do the task that you can do in, let's say, half a day. They will spend 3 days, and eventually you will get value, but your invoice will also be pretty high. Our approach is to make sure that we intelligently automate with AI or without AI, because on a side note, AI is not always the best fit. We have, I would say, hundreds of different algorithms that have nothing to do with AI machine learning, because traditional, let's say, static algorithms do much better than AI.
Okay.
So we intelligently automate everything that we can that is practical, and everything else, either sophisticated tasks or unusual tasks or complex tasks or tasks in a completely unknown system, will be performed by human experts. This is how we synergize machine learning and human labor.
That analogy definitely gives an understanding of that only AI is not sufficient. The human expertise along with the AI as a synergy gives a better understanding. And that's a really impressive analogy. What stands out is how you're using AI not just to automate, but to enhance decision-making, right? Giving the security teams that context-rich insights they can act on quickly. It's clear that the real value lies not in more data, but in the right data, which is translated intelligently. Moving on, it brings us to a huge pain point for more teams, a topic of discussion we get most of the times with our customers, that is the noise. Now, the security operations today are often overloaded with alerts, logs, and threat feeds. Many teams with whom we have discussed tell us that they are buried under the volume, struggling to focus on what truly matters. Now, how does ImmuniWeb CTEM help customers reduce this noise and make the experience more streamlined and focus on the actionable data?
I think that it is important to highlight that every customer, every single customer, they'll probably have their unique definition of noise and even their own unique definition of false positives. Even if you have, say, two Swiss banks that are located on the very same street, they have similar assets under management, similar products, similar customers from similar countries, they may have different perception of noise and false positives. I personally know a lot of organizations that have polarized views on what matters and what does not matter. For example, some companies, they simply have a policy that we do not patch low-risk vulnerabilities unless we have nothing else to do. In practice, it means we never patch them because they always have something to do. I think it is extremely important to place your vulnerabilities or weaknesses within a specific context. ImmuniWeb, for example, when we do penetration testing and vulnerability scanning, we have different sections in our reports. So you will have a section with vulnerabilities, SQL injections, remote command execution. So something that is classifiable by CWE, something that has a specific CVSS score. This will be in the vulnerability section. Everything else, for example, a cookie that has no secure flag or a misconfigured content security policy, okay, or things like this, they will be rather placed as a warning. You have a dedicated section, okay, and you also have a special section that is called information. and information, we will just inform you that your web application has no privacy policy. Because maybe cyber folks don't care about it, but we believe that it's something that they should probably be aware of. Whether they prefer to respond, whether they prefer to delegate this task to their CPO team, as they prefer. So we try to do triage as carefully as possible, because I know that some tools, they try to impress their users by, for example, saying that a cookie that has a binary value is 0 or 1, and the value is actually the background of the website, white or black, and the cookie has no secure flag, they will rank it as critical vulnerability, and they'll put it on the very top of the findings, trying to impress their users. This is, in my humble opinion, this is pure noise, okay? Then when talking about, you know, context-specific risk rating, I believe that CTAM once again lays down the solid foundation where you may say, okay, we have our cloud infrastructure, let's say at AWS, but everything that is hosted there are merely public web applications. We do not collect, we do not process any personal data, any other regulated information. You cannot even subscribe to our newsletter there. So even if our web applications that are hosted in this segment of AWS, even if one or all of them are compromised, of course, that's bad. Reputational image, possible legal consequence, but it's not critical. However, if we have our central e-payment gateway where we save 90% of our online income, if we have an expired SSL certificate, or somebody for a reason uploads, say, self-signed SSL certificate, something that is usually classified as a warning on our site, it may be super critical, because most browsers, I think even all browsers, will show you this ugly red page saying that this website is not secure, run away and don't look behind. So this may be critical. This is actually why CTAM will be able to illustrate what kind of assets you have, where your data is located, what are the external threats, ongoing hacking activities, exposed third parties, and so on. And to conclude with how exactly we assist our clients with separating the wheat from chaff. Actually, with Union of Discovery, you have a lot of different building tools where you can classify your assets, first of all. For example, you may say all applications in this specific subnetwork, this is a part of my PCI CD scope where we process credit cards. Okay, so here we customize risks, and even small security warnings will be upgraded in terms of risk scoring to critical. And everybody in our PCI team and incident response team, as soon as we have an SSL certificate that expired, they will immediately be notified, because this is a business critical segment of our business, of our network. On the other side, you may say, listen, here we have a test environment, okay, that is hosted at Microsoft Azure. So even if we have outdated software, and even software that is outdated and contains publicly known vulnerabilities, we ignore this because we purposely have older software that may occasionally contain vulnerabilities, because we're testing backward compatibility, we're doing different things. So we do have vulnerable software for good reasons, and we are aware of this. So we will simply ignore all notifications, so our team will get zero noise. But if in your test environment we spot malware, probably even if it's a test environment, you'd like to know more. So in this case, once again, we notify your CISO, your incident response team. So you really can customize and classify incidents per asset type, per asset group, per different asset locations. You can really customize everything to make sure that only relevant people in your team will get only relevant notifications for their daily jobs.
Now, that's very encouraging to hear, cutting through the alert fatigue. As I said, you can purely focus on what really matters, and it gives you who is exactly accountable to it. Now, it's refreshing also to see a platform that respects the human limitation of security teams while helping them stay laser focused. Moving on to the next section, as you mentioned about the compliance in our previous question, I would like to emphasize on that. Let's zoom in on the Asia-Pacific region, right? Where compliance mandates are becoming increasingly sophisticated, right? From India's DPDPA to Hong Kong's PDPO and Singapore's PDPA, organizations are under pressure to show cyber due diligence. Now, how does CTAM can be used across Asia as a strategic enabler for compliance rather than it's just as a security add-on?
I think that it would be challenging to give one-size-fits-all advice here, and disclaimer, no legal advice, because we have a lot of different laws and regulations in different countries, and we can probably separate data protection laws that mostly can primarily care about protection of personal information. We may also separate laws and regulations designed to protect critical national infrastructure, like banks, insurance, and other entities that are crucial for local economies. In a nutshell, I would say they all have different type of details and sophistications, because some laws, they're very high level. For example, you may see a law that says you must ensure reasonable security of all systems in the scope of this regulation. What does it mean? Reasonable security is a question of interpretation for competent agencies or courts. In many countries, we now have dedicated cybersecurity data protection agencies, and I know that most of them do a great job by releasing informal guidelines or frameworks, explaining clearly their expectations, saying by reasonable, we mean you must have MFA everywhere, you must have up-to-date software, you must do this and that. But to generalize, I think that CTAM will bring value in several different ways. First, you will likely comply with requirements of continuity, because now all laws and regulations, they are similar in terms that they require to have continuous approach to cybersecurity. It's not ad hoc pen test once a year and quarterly vulnerability scan. Most of them, they expressly tell you security is a continuous ongoing process. So you will be able to demonstrate that, yes, I'm continually monitoring my systems, interconnected systems, third parties. It will also be able to help to demonstrate that you have a comprehensive and diverse and inclusive approach to cyber, because you will have insights from dark web, you will have information about phishing campaigns, you will have information about your third parties, you will have information about your applications, API, mobile apps, cloud infrastructure, basically speaking, everything. So at least you will be able to demonstrate that you take cybersecurity seriously and you have a comprehensive, holistic approach. Of course, if you have 10,000 alerts on your dashboard and nobody takes care of them, this may be problematic, okay? But if you utilize and you respond to most relevant threats to the extent permitted by your internal budget and resources, I think you will already have a solid argument when you talk to your authorities, external auditors, to explain that you take cybersecurity and cyber defense seriously. You do monitor different areas. You do this on a continuous manner. And at least some of these specific requirements, when they exist, okay, like continuous monitoring or ensure that your software is up to date and doesn't contain known vulnerabilities and so on, at least some of these specific requirements are fulfilled, are met. And probably On a side note, it is important to mention that now we have a trend that may be pretty dangerous for some companies, that we start seeing vendors advertise automated penetration tests. They do have good technology, they do have good products, at least some of them, as I personally know, but I don't think that automated penetration testing will satisfy regulatory penetration testing requirements. At least I personally had several cases on both sides of the Atlantic and in Asia, where regulators and courts, they said, no, penetration test means human labor must be involved. Because when you say fully automated penetration testing, it may be anything like advanced vulnerability scanning or AI-powered automated tool for red teamers, but automated penetration testing is likening it to, say, Jack Daniels without alcohol. Famous whiskey cannot be without alcohol. If you say this is famous Jack Daniels without alcohol, okay, but it's not Jack Daniels. It may have a deserved place on a supermarket shelf. Okay, maybe a very good idea, but it's not Jack Daniels. Same here. So when some vendors say we have fully automated pen testing, they may have great servers, great tools, but it's not a replacement of human penetration testing, at least as a matter of current interpretation of law by courts. I would probably emphasize that if you have CTAM and any other tools, it's not some sort of exemption from human testing. Once again, it's up to your organization to define whether you need to conduct pen testing on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, what kind of testing, what methodology. But it is very important to have this human element of testing, because to the best of my knowledge, vast majority of data protection laws and regulations, they of course ask you to have a CTAM solution or a similar one, okay? Because very few laws mandate you to say you must have CTAM. They are usually like vendor agnostic, tool agnostic. They just tell you what you need to achieve. But when they say penetration testing, or even when they just very generally say security testing, they also expect you to conduct some form of manual penetration testing. So to reassure the audience, penetration testers, red teamers, security experts, cloud incident responders, your jobs are pretty safe.
Indeed. It's reassuring to see how security and compliance can go hand in hand instead of being a siloed effort. So, Dr. Ilya, let's now look at CTEM through a business perspective. Right? Security leaders today are being asked, what's the ROI of your cybersecurity investment? In an environment where budgets are being scrutinized, how does ImmuneWeb CTEM help organizations reduce the total cost of operation and demonstrate a clear ROI?
I think return on investment in cybersecurity is probably the most controversial topic that we currently have on the market. We do have countless methodologies, most of them fairly weak from a scientific viewpoint. For example, we may say, listen, by, say, conducting a pen test, you will prevent data breach because we will find 10 vulnerabilities. Each vulnerability can be exploited to steal data. So by running a pen test, we prevented 10 data breaches. Then we take any famous report saying, according to report XYZ, an average cost of data breach is 1 million. So basically we saved you 10 million. So you invested $10,000, you saved 1 million. So basically speaking, you have 1 trillion ROI. So this is just misleading and incorrect. Though I see regularly some attempts of different companies to justify ROI using this one-size-fits-all approach. I don't think that it works, okay? Because some people may be willing to merely comply with regulatory standards, saying, Listen, our business appetite, our risk appetite is that we have no fines, no penalties, no lawsuits. That's it. Then if we have a minor data breach and we're not required even to notify data subjects because their personal data was encrypted and we have no legal duty to inform them, for them it's an acceptable risk. And I'm not judging them. Every organization, every company, they have their own perception, definition of acceptable and unacceptable risk. Okay. I would probably say that where CTAM can really help is that first, you will probably avoid spending, or I would even say wasting money where you don't really need to conduct testing. A frequent outcome of a CTAM exercise that organizations say, listen, we have 150 applications, but currently we have a license for a vulnerability scanner that contains 500 targets. We simply don't need 500 because if in total we have 150, so we can reduce this cost. Okay, whether this is a direct benefit, indirect benefit, ROI, that's how their accountants, how their financial people will define this, right? It is also important to mention that probably CTAM exercise will shed some light on your shadow IT, on your legacy systems, on many other things that you may be unaware of. And frequently we have clients who have this aha effect, saying, listen, we didn't even know that we are paying $50,000 per month to have a Google Cloud infrastructure. We actually purchased it before our former CISO has left the company, and then and another has just joined and left. And we simply forgot that we planned mass migration to Google Cloud, but actually we didn't use it. So sometimes you may have interesting discoveries saying, listen, we have infrastructure that we don't need, but we are paying for it. Talking about security aspect here, it is a little bit more complicated because you may argue that if we spot a vulnerability, we saved some money. Maybe, okay? It depends how we calculate risk. But in any case, if you have a CTAM solution and if you organize your security processes, roles, tasks, and budget accordingly, following specific risks and threats, not just saying, okay, I'll be doing scanning here, pen testing there, and also some external pen testing there. Why? I don't know, but we've been always doing it like this. So if you start following this risk-based and threat-aware approach, you significantly reduce your risk of security incidents and data breaches. It doesn't mean that you are invulnerable. It doesn't mean that you'll never be hacked. And I would even say, when we talk about return on investment, it's extremely speculative because, for example, you may have a vulnerability that exists. It's a critical vulnerability. And let's assume we don't detect it because we don't have CTAM, we don't conduct penetration testing accordingly, we are unaware of it. And we have a security researcher, not really a black hat, but gray hat, if I may, who will simply send us information about this vulnerability asking for $10,000 in exchange for his or her silence, and that's it. We may be lucky. On the other side, we may have a sophisticated ransomware group that will stumble upon the very same vulnerability saying, aha, that's a very interesting finding. And they may extort you for many millions of dollars, causing a long-lasting damage that may even be fatal for your company. Okay. So it really depends on who is the threat actor that will find and exploit specific vulnerability. So I don't think that we may have one size fits all formula, you know, to calculate damages, return on investment, anything else. We may have approximations, we may have different estimations depending on our risk appetite, the value we give to our corporate's name, brand, reputation, everything else. But in a nutshell, CTAM will organize your cyber security, your cyber defense. I believe that this is extremely important because when you have this sophisticated chaos and you may have this manageable chaos where you have 25 different teams that working in isolation from each other, doing something that nobody outside of the team can really understand, may work. But when you organize everything, when you start managing your cybersecurity, cyber defense centrally, when you have your information security governance, information security policies and procedures to be followed, this can certainly augment your resilience. This will highly likely reduce your costs in terms of potential losses and in terms of money you have to pay for licenses that you don't use. And I think another very important factor that is also is extremely difficult to measure, to quantify, happiness of your people. Because now if you are a security analyst and you are in charge of everything, but you don't even know what does it mean. And sometimes you discover shadow systems and you ask your fellow analysts saying, do you know what is this? They have, and they're like, I have no clue. That's demotivating. This is why we high depression, burnout, fatigue, stress rate on the market, because we frequently have unmanageable mess where we don't have specific processes, or we do have, but they are immature or simply unfit for specific tasks. So when you're in charge of everything at once and you don't have clear separation of tasks, labor, responsibilities, accountability, it's an extremely challenging from the emotional viewpoint. So I think if you organize your cybersecurity and cyber defense, then you will see not just direct financial benefits, but you will also see happier and more productive people from your cyber teams, and not only, because now we have privacy professionals, we have lawyers, and of course, when lawyer, your in-house counsel receives 50 emails per day saying, we have a disaster here, we have a suspected incident here, we have a customer complaint here, we have investigation there, lawyers will also be pretty unhappy. So when you make manageable, governable information security strategy, you will see that you will save cost and you will also get a lot of, I would say, unquantifiable or hardly quantifiable benefit, because let's say we have 20 people in IT. How can we quantify their happiness? That's challenging. We cannot say that every happy employee brings us $5. This will be, I'd say, just inappropriate. Of course, some financial experts, they may disagree with me saying, Ilya, everything can be measured and we can have calculation on their productivity, everything else. I would say hypothetically, theoretically, maybe, but I don't think that it will bring much value. Summarizing, I believe that CTAM is an excellent foundation to make sure that you have manageable, governable, and measurable information security management strategy.
There is an interesting perspective when you say the accountability for the ROI. It's not just on the tool that you're using. It depends on how you define your cyber defense. It depends on the emotions of the employees, as you mentioned. So that's a great perspective. And I really appreciate how you connected operational efficiency with the executive level impact, now, especially at a time where every dollar spent needs to defend its value. Australia, it's been a deeply insightful conversation. As a closing thought, for organizations just beginning their CTM journey or still evaluating the right time to move forward, what advice would you give them?
There is no emergency, but the sooner the better. So if you have your current critical tasks, you don't need to abandon them and start procuring CTAM immediately, no. But if you have any available resources, being time or budget, because first you need to try CTAM to understand how it works, to understand whether your people will be happy with it, because you have different CTAM solutions. Okay. And it's important to schedule integration of a CTAM solution. in a way that will be comfortable for your team. Because, for example, you may purchase the most advanced CTAM solution tomorrow. Great. And the day after, every single person in your team starts getting flooded with thousands of alerts, notifications, and noise. The result is obvious, right? So some people will leave the company, others will simply, you know, shut down their email or do other things. But if you have any available resources, I would say consider procuring, selecting, choosing, testing, trying CTAM without any delay.
That's a powerful message to end on. As you mentioned, start small, but start now. Exposure management isn't just a trend, as you mentioned. It's becoming a pillar of modern cyber defense. Thank you for those wise words, Dr. India. And I once again thank you for joining us today and for sharing your vision, clarity, and deep expertise. To our audience, if you are ready to take your security strategy to the next level and want to move from reactive to proactive risk management, now is the time to explore ImmunoWeb CTEM. Visit us at logon-in.com or get in touch with our team for a personalized consultation. This is Vivek, signing off. Until next time, stay secure, stay resilient.